Hi, I'm Damien Edwards, and in this video we're going to show you some of the new features we've been working on in ASP.NET 4.5, especially for web forms developers. We're going to start out by looking at unobtrusive validation. In this form here, I have a fairly typical web form, has about 25 fields, and a lot of validators associated with those fields. It's fairly large. If I look at this in the browser, I can see I'm calculating the current page size at the moment, and I can see I have 30 kilobytes of HTML shown on this page. About 17 kilobytes of that is made up of inline script. That's quite a lot. If I click on save, you can see that the reason for that is because I have client-side validation enabled. It's one of the great advantages of using the built-in validation controls in web forms. But that 17 kilobytes is a fair amount of tax to pay as such for getting this feature. So let's go and use unobtrusive validation to see if we can do something about that. Let's go into the code behind for this form, and I'm going to change the unobtrusive validation mode from none to web forms. Let me recompile this page, switch back to the browser, and I'm going to hit F5 to refresh the page. And we'll see what difference this made. Okay, so now the page is just under 20 kilobytes in total HTML size, with only 1 kilobyte of that coming from script. So that's a really, really big improvement. If I click on save again, I get the exact same functionality I had before. Client-side validation still works. But as we said before, we have a very much smaller page size now, which is great. Okay, let's look at some other features. Let's look at strongly typed data controls. I've switched to a different form now. This one's called search. And again, fairly typical for the type of thing you might do in web forms. I have a text box where the user can enter a search term and a button they can click to find the results. And then I'm showing the results using a list view control. And inside the item template of that list view, I've got multiple calls to an eval expression. This is the standard way you would be doing data binding and web forms right back from the initial release that we did so many years ago. And while this certainly works, I mean, let's go and have a look at that page. I'll navigate through to search.aspx. Here's the results that I entered in the database for the purposes of this demo. I can search for something. Let's search for couch. I get a result. So everything works as I expect, but I really am not comfortable with passing strings around to represent properties on the objects that I'm data binding to. So one of the new features we added is called strongly typed data controls. I'm going to go up to my list view, and I'm going to add the item type property. And I'm going to set that to the name of the type that I'm actually data binding to. So I know, in this case, it's the product class inside my model folder. So I'm going to set this to demo.model.product. Now when I come down to my data binding expression, rather than using eval, I can use the now locally generated member variable called item. And we'll see that item is typed to the class that I just entered into the item type property. And so when I hit item dot, let's zoom in a little bit here, we can see that I'm getting IntelliSense for the properties on my item class. So I can go through and change all of these statements to use item instead of eval. Note for this second one, I'm not just getting a first level property, I'm actually navigating through an object graph because I have a category object hanging off each item. So I'm getting the name off the category. Let's grab the description off the item. Let's grab the unit price. Now, unit price is a decimal, it's not a string. So I'm going to have to call toString on that and now pass that format string directly into the toString. And then this last one is actually a ternary operation. I'm looking at the in stock. And you can see I have to cast that to bool. Well, I don't have to do that anymore. Let's just say item.inStock and have that expression be the expression on my ternary operator. Okay, that's all I had to do. Let's go back to the page now. I'm going to clear this search term. Let's hit refresh. Now we can see the results are the same as we had before. Let's search for couch. Couch still works. Let's search for table. Table still works. So my search results are the same. My form functions the same. But now I'm getting the benefit of IntelliSense and strong typing at design time and runtime. So let's move from strongly typed data controls into model binding. You may be familiar with model binding from the world of ASP.NET MVC. First, let's have a look at the code behind of this page. So here's the bind results method on this page that I just showed you. Let's scroll up a little bit, you can see how that's being called from inside page load and also inside the button click. And all bind results does is pretty typical, EF code first, talking to my database. But before that, it grabs a value from the query string and it grabs that value from the text box. And then it determines which of those values it's going to use to perform the search. Builds up the query, case insensitive where clause if there is a term to search by, and then finally materializes the search by calling toList, sets it onto the data source property of my control and then calls data bind. Let's see how this would be done using model binding. So here we have the same page, but rebuilt to use model binding. Note I have no page load or click handler anymore. I simply have a method called getResults, and inside of that we can see that my database query is being made, including the addition of that where clause if the user enters a search term. But rather than the body of this method interacting directly with the page, you can see that it's taking in two parameters. One of them is the term that's entered in the text box on the form, and the other one is anything that comes via the query string. And I can tell model binding to populate these values as such by using these attributes. The first one is saying control, a control named search term. And the second one is saying query string, in this case, a query string with a key of search term. Also note the return result of my getResults method. It's iQueryable of product. Now that's significant. Because this is an iQueryable, it means it hasn't actually executed yet when my control goes and calls this. It means the control is free to modify this query before it renders the results. And I can use that to my advantage when it comes to doing things like sorting and paging. If I go back to my markup, look in the head now, you can see I've added a couple of link buttons in the head here to enable sorting. The command name is set to sort, and the argument is set to the column I want to sort by. Now at runtime, let's run this up now. That control can use that iQueryable, can obey the commands that are issued if I click on those link buttons, and change the results as they come back. If I click on the name now, you'll see that the results sort by name. If I click on price, they sort by price. I can type in couch to the text box and I get my couch. Or I can come up to the query string and enter table via the query string and I get table results. Let's come back down, set it to couch again. Let's clear the result, hit search, and I get all results back. So I get the same functionality that I did before, but the code now is factored in a very different way. This method, as I noted, isn't interacting directly with the page. So if I wanted to, I could fairly easily unit test this method or even move it to a completely different class because it isn't tied to the page directly. Lastly, let's take a very quick look at support for OpenID and OAuth logins. Let's come back to the solution. I'm going to open up the auth config file. This file is standard in all new projects created in Visual Studio 2012 targeting ASP.NET 4.5. You can see here we have a number of external services commented out, ready for you to put in your custom application credentials to enable them. For the purposes of this demo, I'm going to enable Google login because it doesn't require any extra setup. Let's come back to my browser and I'm going to hit the login page. Note that I'm given the ability to log in via username and password, which is the normal option, but also, importantly, via Google now. Let's click the button. I'm going to enter in my credentials. And now that I've successfully logged in at Google, it redirects me back to my site. And if we see in the header in the top right-hand corner, I'm now logged in using the credentials from the external provider. Those are some of my favorite features in ASP.NET 4.5, which you can try out now in Visual Studio 2012.